Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, an update on tainted tourist liquor from Mexico. You thought I was going to say the Dominican Republic, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Talk Tours comes up with an incredible addition to one of their packages. Details next in the news.
Our Sacramento airport is really growing, and more nonstop flights to more places and more amenities for travelers, like the new lounges, which have opened recently in both terminals. How much do they cost? What do they offer? We make you a smarter airport traveler coming up at 3:20.
The State Fair, the California State Fair, opens just down the street from the KFBK studios next week. Did you hear about the food festival? All the details at 3:35.
Now, last week, we promised you the Santa Fe portion of Steve LaRosa's two-parter on New Mexico. Well, he got bumped by the TSA, that's right. But he's back this week determined to tell us all about one of America's best destinations, Santa Fe, at 3:45.
Our president had a little trouble with his aviation history on the 4th of July, and as you might have guessed, some people are having a little fun at his expense. Include us in that group as we share some presidential aviation humor at 3:55.
Here to make you a smarter traveler, it's Mark and Tom. Welcome to The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All our bond and the man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, hosted by Mark Hoffman and yours truly, Tom Romano. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, as always. Hope you've had a fabulous holiday. Maybe you spent some extra time with family and friends. All of us celebrating the independence of this country. And, of course, we had an opportunity to see the president at its best if we tuned in to watch the Washington, D.C. Independence Day celebration.
I thought he did a pretty good job on his speech. He stuck pretty much to everything except for that little part where he had the airplanes flying in the Revolutionary War.
You can't get everything right.
As we are a travel show, we are going to poke a little bit of fun at the president for his getting things out of historical order gaffe a little bit later on. So advance warning, if that bothers you, why then you'll want to leave us at 55 after the hour.
But there you go.
But looked like a nice day after they got done with all of the rain and everything in D.C. A nice celebration. Of course, there was the concert on the other end of the mall, and so outstanding day. I am headed off to Seattle and Puget Sound, and
you just got home.
You were
in New York, and now you're okay.
I'm a travel guy.
What did you say earlier when we first got together here at the studio that this is one of the easiest trips of the year?
This
for you,
is
huh?
one. We go up and spend four nights in a lovely resort across Puget Sound from Seattle, near Bainbridge Island. It's run by the Susquamish Indians, and it's a casino resort, but the casino building is separate from the hotel building, which makes it kind of like, if you don't want to be in the casino, you don't have to be.
I think it's a good idea. And here again, the opportunity to be away from all the smoke that casinos filter into the rest of a hotel where they attach.
If you want to go play, you can. And if you don't, why, then you don't have to. And the rooms face the water. And we go and visit all these little towns, Port Townsend and Port Gamble and Squim and all of these wonderful places. We're going to Pike Place Market one day. We're going to have Sunday brunch out on the water at one of the Anthony's restaurants. So, yeah, it's
what a
tough job to do. As I tell my folks, I really am happy you folks can afford to do this, because otherwise I probably wouldn't be here. So what are you doing this week? You spent the whole weekend with family and stuff like that?
We did. My daughter from San Antonio, Texas, came to visit, and we went to the, as always, we go to the
Rancho Cordova at the Hagen Park for their big 4th of July blowout. That event has just become a beast.
Man, the traffic was unbelievable. I went by the park about 45 minutes before it was to start, and you couldn't get anywhere near. I mean, the number of people who walked to that event is amazing because it's right in the middle of a neighborhood.
You can't, you know, there's a point where if you try to drive in and find, one of the closest parking places, what will happen at the end of the evening, everybody will leave and you can spend 3 or 4 hours in your car going nowhere to try to get out. You know, I would just suggest that you get your best walking shoes. Uh-huh. We probably, you know, because we've done that, got stuck in the traffic, and we just don't do that anymore. We use it as a great day of exercise. We probably walked 2.5 miles just to get into the park.
Uh-huh.
And they watched the music. They had a cover band doing Michael Jackson stuff.
Yep.
And then we do the fireworks and we walk 2.5 miles back very slowly through a very large crowd. But I have to say, you know, a lot of young people having a great time, very well behaved event. There were no visible problems. I'm sure there was something somewhere that we didn't see.
Right.
But on the whole, extremely well behaved and a great event as always.
Another example of the Rancho Cordova community coming together. They're still working on upgrading Folsom Boulevard. And all right, we best move along here.
Okay, at the
get
top
on with
of
the travel news.
There you go. At the top of every Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with that, here's Mark.
All right, we mentioned in the headlines about the Mexican government doing some investigation on tainted alcohol in Mexican bars and the like. The State Department asked the Mexican government to do this investigation, and so they checked out 30 different bars in different parts throughout the country. They found actually that two of them did not comply with health and safety rules. So, and I thought this was interesting because, of course, the toxicology reports have not come back yet from the Dominican Republic on the tourists that died down there. And one of the things that's been floated around is that possibly one of the common threads is that several of them had been drinking and that there seemed to be a feeling that maybe it was somehow tied to liquor and that they had gotten tainted liquor from their hotel room or something.
Right.
Like
they were
that.
Thinking maybe it was an issue with the liquor in the mini bar.
Right. So what
but
the Mexican.
This is different.
This is, well, it's a different country, but
yeah,
it's
okay.
Basically. And one of the things that this report pointed out was how hard it is for U.S. tourists when they're in these emergency situations, they get really sick in another country, how difficult it is sometimes for them to get proper care and to get out of the country. So this is something that you need to think about before you go off on a party, and all you can drink for a week, I'm going to get drunk and fall down every night in
bad,
a foreign country.
Bad decisions there.
Well, but we probably made some of those when we were
a little
younger.
This is true. We do our best to try to keep it in the States.
Yeah. And so what happens is that people get into an unfamiliar environment and they get sick and it's harder for them to get home. So what they were pointing out is that do your homework ahead of time. If you're going on a party cruise or you're going on a party vacation or something, consider the possibility of what might happen if you become ill and how would you get out of that particular place? Who would you call? And one of our listeners, by the way, who listens to the podcast, she's in Vancouver, and I'm forgetting her name now, so she'll hopefully excuse me if she hears this when she's listening, but she sent me a thing, and we're going to post it and talk about it next week, about a web, something you can put on your phone, and no matter what country you're in, it'll tell you what the emergency code is.
Oh, yeah, we hit on that briefly the other day. It's important to know what the emergency, what the 911 for Sweden is,
you
or whatever.
You don't think about
or
that
what the
stuff.
911 is in Mexico.
Yeah, here's an interesting story, too, that kind of goes in line with this. Dominican Republic bookings are starting to bounce back. This is already. Bookings were down, by the 16th of June, bookings were down about 55% to the Dominican. By a week and a half later, bookings were down. It says 143% compared to the previous year. Now, how can bookings be down more than 100%? but anyway, let's just say that they were dramatically down.
There you go.
But from June 26th to July 2nd, just this past week, Now bookings are back to where they're only down 70%. So dramatic, to say the least, but nonetheless, it appears as though people are starting already to go back to the Dominican Republic. I mentioned that there are new gates at LaGuardia Airport, that United was operating out of a new terminal. Had an opportunity to fly through there last week, and boy, it is really nice. But LaGuardia Airport is still an absolute zoo, because picture this, if you will, they've torn down some of the old stuff and built some new stuff. And some of the old stuff connects to some of the new stuff, because all the old stuff hasn't been replaced yet, because you can't replace every, you know, you have to do it kind of one step at a time. And so if it were me and I had a choice of flying out of LaGuardia or Newark, I'd take the train and fly out of Newark still for a little bit longer. The delay situation in the two airports is fairly similar. I would stick with Newark for another year or so, give LaGuardia a chance to clear up a little bit more of the debris. But there's no question that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, said that flying into LaGuardia was like flying into a third world country, which was not an exaggeration by any stretch of the imagination, but it's not going to be like that anymore.
How long do they anticipate this is going to...
Well, they've been building, they've been constructing there for over 2 years at LaGuardia now. Well, right about 2 years in the summer. So they say about 2.5 more years to get it done. But they have made some significant progress. The area where you wait for your plane, you know, once you pass through security, you have to wind through some hallways and stuff, because like I said, things are weirdly connected. But when you get into the new United terminal, it's beautiful. It's a huge improvement over what it was. It's just that because of all this weird stuff that's going on, it's going to be, and if somebody has to pick you up there and all of that kind of jazz, why, that's going to be a little bit more complicated for a while. It's Jody is the lady in Vancouver.
Thank you, Jody.
Jody, and she sent me this thing. It's called Help Call, and I have downloaded the app onto my phone. And it allows you, it will tell you what the emergency phone number is, like 911 in the United States. What is that for the country that you're in? So if you are in a really immediate emergency, urgent emergency, that you can summon help. So it's called Help Call. And you can get the app and put it on your phone. So thanks to Jody, who says she listens to our podcast faithfully from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Which is another country.
Yeah. Very good. Tauk Tours has announced that they are going back to Egypt for the first time in almost a decade. And their two new itineraries this year both have an exclusive after-hours private tour of the Valley of the Kings that includes a private visit to the legendary tomb of King Tut.
Why doesn't Sports Leisure Vacations have this?
Because
why is Tauk? Aren't you bigger than they are?
They're about 300 times bigger than we are. Tauk has, if you have money to burn, if your wallet doesn't have any limits on it, and your travel budget is, you know, someplace you want to go and you don't really care what it costs, you just want to go in the absolute best way possible, I recommend Tauk Tours. They've been in business for almost 100 years. They are the people who pretty much created the tour business, and they do a terrific job.
Let's see. What's up next, Mark?
Coming up next, we are going to make you a smarter traveler. We'll tell you all about the new lounges out at Sacramento Airport.
That's next here on The Travel Guys.
Far, we've been traveling far, without a home, but not without a star.
It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we alluded to on one of our previous programs, we were going to be fortunate enough to have somebody on that knows a lot about something brand new that has come to SMF out at the Sacramento International Airport. Pretty exciting, especially for those of you that want to get out there early and be able to hang out and have something you've never had before. Mark, introduce.
We're always telling people that they should get to the airport a little bit early. In fact, last week, when you had our TSA friends on and you asked them what's the one thing that you would tell people to do? And they said, well, you know, they had some little things about where to put things and stuff. But really what we would tell you is get to the airport early. So all of us are working very hard to try to get people to the airport earlier in Sacramento because it is more crowded. There's a lot more going on. Parking is a little tougher. And so you get to the airport earlier. Now you've got this little block of time that you have nothing to do with. Well, previously you could use the concessions or the restroom or whatever. But now there's an extra sort of thing that you can do at the airport. And to me, Tom, this is kind of a sign that Sacramento is growing up, that our airport has become more than just a flyover airport now. We're a real airport because now in each terminal, we have newly opened passenger lounges, places that folks can go and relax a little bit before the flight. So if you do get there early, you find yourself with some extra time, you want to escape from the maddening crowds, why, this is some place that you can do it. And so we have Martin Jones, who is the CEO of MAG Airports, which is a British company. And he joins us on the phone now to tell us about these two new facilities in Sacramento. Martin, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you very much, and thanks very much for the invitation. It's great to talk to you.
You are very welcome. We now have a new lounge. They've just opened, in the last couple of weeks in both terminals?
Yeah, that's correct. So we've actually got two new lounges in Sacramento, one in Terminal A and one in Terminal B, both opening from first flight to last flight every day.
Tell us, for people who are not familiar with what an airport lounge offers a traveler, if you come into the lounge, and we'll talk about what it costs and who can get in a minute, but once you're in, what are some of the amenities that are available in this lounge besides just a little bit of peace and quiet?
Yeah, no, sure. So it's what's technically called a common use lounge, so it's open to anybody and everybody. You can get in through a number of different ways. Either you can pre-book in advance through escapelounges.com, or you can just show up at the desk and pay to get in. It's $45 on the gate as such, or it's $40 in advance. But then there's lots of other ways that you can get access as well. So if customers have an American Express Platinum card, they can get in free for them and two guests. For those who are AAA members, they can get in for $35. And we also do deals, not necessarily in Sacramento yet, but in our other lounges with a number of airlines for business class passengers, et cetera. So there's lots of ways to get in, but everybody's welcome.
I was just going to say, Martin, walk us through the front door. And for us that have not lounged at the airport, what can we expect? What's it going to look like? What's available for my... You know, I'm going for the senior discount and the AAA.
You're
and,
paying $45.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
telling
no,
you what.
I'm going 35.
No,
yeah,
you're a mooch. You're paying $45. So, Martin, when you finally get Romano to give up his money, which is not going to be easy, and he gets through the door, what is he going to get?
So what you're going to get in both lounges, they both have a very similar proposition, is everything's all included when you get in. So we have food that's prepared by a local chef, Chef Fanuni of Hawks Restaurant, locally in Sacramento. And everything is prepared on the premises. We don't ship anything in. It's all prepared daily, fresh. You know, a great proposition for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, no matter what time of day you're coming in. With some highlights, things like for lunch, braised short rib would be certainly one of my favorites. Slow roasted salmon, another favorite of mine. There's a couple of examples. And then we've got a fully stocked bar. And you know, you can get regular drinks in there, alcoholic drinks included. And if you want to trade up to something special, you can pay a little extra for a more premium beverage. In terms of the amenities that are in there, of course you'd expect super fast Wi-Fi. That's there. We've got charging stations for people that wanting to work, charge their phones, etc. Televisions, newspapers, magazines. We can print, scan a copy, anything from a business services point of view. We've got flight information screens, everything that you need to relax. And local coffee is provided by Chocolate Fish Coffee from Sacramento as well. So we try and make things as local as we can to the restaurants, location that we're trading in, so that the offers are familiar to people. But yeah, it's a great proposition.
So the lounges, you said first flight to last flight. So the lounges are open 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock, something like that?
Yeah, Correct. So Terminal A's open from 4:30 a.m. and Terminal B's from 5 a.m. So, so I was just going to say that in Terminal A, we're just outside gate 10, and in Terminal B, we're just after the security checkpoint.
Now, since you're open those wide variety of hours, I'm guessing that the food fare changes. You're there early in the morning. You're going to have some breakfast fare and then lunch and kind of dinner as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you arrive early on in the morning, you'll get the breakfast offer. So we've got things like bacon, caramelized onion potato, yogurt parfait, chai chi pudding, lots of pastries, coffee cake, croissants.
Mimosas?
You can get a mimosa in the morning if that's what you so desire. Mimosas. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I can see I can see your priorities developing, Romano. First of all, you want to get in for next to nothing.
Right.
And then you want to go for the upgraded stuff right away.
Yeah.
We're talking to Martin Jones. He's the CEO of MAG. And MAG is a company that's running our two new lounges in Sacramento at the airport in both terminals. And so we're talking a little bit about those. We have discovered that the lounges open before the first flight leaves in the morning. They're open until late in the evening. We've talked a little bit about the food and stuff and about who can get in and what it costs. Now, you mentioned, Martin, and I just want to clarify here that for now, if you belong to United or American or Delta's lounge somewhere else, this is not a lounge specifically for those people. So at this point in time, those folks still have to pay to get in. If you're an American Express card holder, you said a certain type of American Express card?
Yeah, the Platinum card.
Okay. And the Platinum American Express card will get you in. You get a discount if you're a AAA member. How about Priority Pass members?
We don't actually have a deal right now with Priority Pass. We used to.
So there are a variety of ways and methods, and this is kind of evolving. So probably the best thing to do is for us to check back in with you in a month or two and see how business is going and see what has changed and also get an update on who can get in, what it costs, and all that kind of jazz. Martin, I really appreciate you taking some time with us, especially on a holiday weekend, to tell us about this. A lot. We're getting lots and lots of notes in our Travel Guys mailbox, so about the lounges and stuff. So thank you very much for the opportunity to get a little bit of an update. And if you have anything else to report, please keep in mind the Travel Guys and give us a shout.
We will do, certainly. And thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you. I really appreciate it. And enjoy the rest of the holiday weekend.
Can't wait to visit the new lounges at Sacramento International Airport. We are the Travel Guys. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com to follow along with what we talk about. And coming up next, right after the news, we're going to check in on the California State Fair and Food Festival 2019. Going to spend some time with the media director, Darla Gibbons, next on the Travel Guys.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio.
If you're just joining us, this is Tom and Mark's over there. We are the Travel Guys here on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacation. And part of our gig is travel and entertainment. And every year at this time, we have an opportunity to bring you up to date on what's happening at the California State Fair this year. A lot of people travel from a lot of places all over California and beyond to enjoy one of the greatest state fairs on the planet. And today I have an opportunity to spend time with the media director for the California State Fair again this year, Darla Gibbons. Darla, thank you for joining us here on the Travel Guys.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for having me.
What's the theme of the fair this year?
Well, it's Let's Get Together. But if you notice, we changed our name to the California State Fair and Food Festival, because this year we actually have a food festival competition and a food festival pass.
Now, with that being said, how do people participate, and what is there for the fairgoers now that you've added the food?
We really wanted to highlight these food vendors who come out with something unique. We have savory dishes, we have sweet, we have some drinks, we have dessert. And so what you do, you buy a food festival pass, it's $28, and that gets you four of the food festival items. You can get anything from vegan nachos. We also have orange chicken fries. So you take orange chicken, put them on French fries, and there you go. We have 34 different food festival items, and we'll have the competition Saturday, July 13th if you buy the food festival pass and then you get the family fun pack in advance, because once 11:59 on July 11th hits, they're no longer for sale. But you get that. You can get your family and to the fair fed and a monorail ride for $80.
What else is new this year, darling?
We have a light drone show, so we wanted to try something different to bring a different crowd and a different generation to the California State Fair and Food Festival. So we have a drone light show every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and that's presented to us by Dish. And it'll be choreographed to music and narrated also, and you can hear that throughout the entire fairgrounds. Also new this year, we have the eSports Gaming Tournament. And we'll have free play every day for everybody to come out and sign up. You do go online, castatebear.org, and go to the special events tab, and you can see the Bear Cup Esports Tournament. And this is the first time that we're having gaming at the California State Fair all 17 days.
Awesome. Horse racing back again this year?
Horse racing every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Any advice to fairgoers in regards to things they should be prepared for, what they should maybe wear, and perhaps some advice in regards to parking?
Yes. Parking, we do offer online right now a parking pass. It's the first time we've ever offered a parking pass. You can get 3 days for the price of two. And then also, you know, when it's warm outside, you'll definitely want to dress accordingly, drink plenty of water, and you can bring in your own bottled water. Unopened bottles of plastic bottles, no cans, aluminum, or glass bottles, and no alcohol. A couple of new things also that I wanted to mention is the Bank of America selfie experience, where you can go in, take photos, and just attach them to all your social media accounts. So we'll have some pretty cool exhibits in that particular building.
One last question, then I'll let you go, Darla.
Yes, sir.
Anything special for seniors or military this year?
Yes, we do have our Military Appreciation Day that's coming up on Thursday, July 18th. If you are active, retired military with a valid ID, you and your dependents get into the California State Fair and Food Festival for free. And the following Thursday is First Responders Appreciation Day. So if you are law enforcement or first responder, you also get in free with free with your ID. And for seniors, we have our Senior Day on Fridays. So seniors get in for $8 on Fridays.
So the state fair sounds like it's going to be just a tad different this year, Mr. Romano. A gaming contest for the whole time. There are food festival, all of these discount day. This is good for you because we already established earlier in the program how cheap you are.
That's
so
right.
There's a lot of ways for you to get in and practically rob the bank along the way.
Right up my alley, except for the e-gaming. But, you know, I mean, like a lot of entertainment venues.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen it when you travel. They have to start planning for the younger generation and what they're interested in, whether it's those, the particular kind of music or e-gaming and things.
Because they're the people who spend the money. Let's see the hands of all the people in the room who were at the state fairgrounds in 1968 when Ronald Reagan opened the California State Fair at Cal Expo. Let's see the hands of all the people who were there.
Okay, I see Mark's hand.
Yeah, there were about 200 people there that day at the very most. And I still have a picture of the governor taken from an Instamatic camera or something like that. But anyway, the fair sounds like a really cool place to be this year. It sounds like that they've put their heads together there and gotten some great ideas. And I haven't been for a while, but it sounds like a place that I might just check out.
You know, they have have you ever ridden the monorail? It used to be called the Romano Rail.
The Romano
Rail. And then after that accident, they dropped the front part, and I wouldn't allow it any longer, so it's just now the monorail.
You're losing your mind.
Yeah, I know.
Coming up after the break, Steve LaRosa, who did this wonderful, wonderful spot on Santa Fe, and then last week it got axed for the TSA guys. We are bringing it to you right after this break here on the Travel Guys.
It is the Travel and Entertainment Guys on your radio. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, as always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And don't forget now, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com anytime, and particularly when we're doing our radio program. If you go there, you'll see links to a lot of the stuff that we talk about right here on the program. And today, it's part two of a special program that we started last week. Mark?
Steve last week told us all about Albuquerque and about his visit to Taos and the historic Native American Pueblo in Taos. And so this week we're going to talk a little bit about Santa Fe and a couple of other little side trips that Steve made off of what is arguably, in a state full of a lot of history, Santa Fe is arguably the most historic spot in New Mexico. And certainly, Steve, I would say probably the most expensive and absolutely the most interesting.
Absolutely the most expensive. And Mark, when we last left you, we were in Taos. And on the way back from Taos, Tom, we stopped in a little town, one of Mark's favorites. And Mark, go ahead and tell him the name of the town.
Madrid is a really cool little town, not Madrid, spelled the same as Madrid, but Madrid. It's right along the highway there. And talk about a cute little place full of just, you just have to allow yourself an hour and a half or so. And if you go, make sure you go in the morning because there's only limited parking along the road and you're going to have a heck of a time finding a place to park. Talk about out of the way and off the beaten track. That would be one of my favorites. A couple of great restaurants and a lot of roadside art and things like that that you can buy. How's that?
Yeah, a lot of little quaint shops and galleries. And we did go in there in the morning, so it was really easy. And then we were off to Santa Fe. We stayed at the inn and spa at Loretto in Santa Fe. And the at Loretto refers, Tom, to the adjacency to the Loretto Chapel, which was built in 1878, and it's famous for its miraculous staircase.
This is that staircase that doesn't look like anything's holding it up, isn't it? I've seen the pictures.
Exactly. It connects from the ground floor to the choir loft and has two 360-degree turns in it with no visible means of support. And the legend is the nuns there did a novena to St. Joseph, and on the ninth day, a carpenter arrives looking for work. He built it, left it without pay or thanks, kind of like Zorro, come in, make your Z, or Sidney Poitier and the Lilies of the Field, you know. And the nuns posited that it might have been St. Joseph himself.
Wow.
Well, there you go. So anyway, right next door is the inn and spa at Loretto, which was modeled after the famous Taos Pueblo that we talked about last week. And like their sister property in Taos, it's a first-class operation. They have five galleries on site, including a daily artist-in-residence program. So it was pretty cool. So, of course, had to go to a church. We went to the Cathedral of Basilica of St. Francis of Assisi, which is right off the Santa Fe Plaza. Santa Fe Plaza, Mark, 400 years old, in the heart of Santa Fe, full of, I would say, mostly upscale shops, restaurants, and galleries. What do you think, Mark?
I would say absolutely, and I would tell folks who are headed to Santa Fe to make sure you allow time to peruse the crafts that are always on display outside of the Palace of Governors every day. Native Americans are there selling things, authentic things, at pretty reasonable prices. It's not always the same stuff every day, so that's something that you want to see. And I also, Steve, had my first ever Frito pie.
Oh, yeah.
In the plaza,
right.
in Santa Fe.
The famous Frito pie. And, Tom, the interesting thing is it's a lottery. Every day the artisans go in there. It's like a lottery for your space to put down your blanket and sit there with your jewelry and handmade crafts.
So people who are going to display and sell, you know, have to go there and, you know, take a number, and they only pick so many that day to participate.
Exactly.
So as you were saying, not only do the items that are for sale change, but the vendors change pretty regularly,
right,
too. That's very cool.
And, of course, there is Canyon Road. It's a half mile of 100 upscale art galleries, boutiques, artist studios, and a smattering of restaurants. And I got to tell you, Tom, this is the high price spread. It's, you know, the art isn't, you know, you're going to get a little souvenir piece of art for $25-$50 and go home. But it's a great leisurely stroll if you just want to browse. Mark, am I right on that one?
Oh, absolutely. It is. If you're just going anywhere near Santa Fe, even to say Santa Fe, I think it's $10. But it's Santa Fe is a place that it reminds me a little bit of Cape Cod, where I just came from. Even places that aren't unique or cool are adopted by somebody and become artistic. And in some way, there's an air of dollars that kind of is around the place. But there certainly are amazing places. And how long, Steve, let me ask you, between Albuquerque and Santa Fe and Taos, how long did you spend in New Mexico?
2 days in each place, basically.
Yeah. So and basically that's a week only to cover an area that's, 100 miles from Albuquerque to Taos, perhaps?
Yeah, we live on a very fast track.
Now, let me ask you, would you have liked to have spent more time? Did that give you the amount of time to do what you need?
Maybe another day or two, tops.
Okay, so for those that are listening, that are thinking about taking this journey, you know, you can add it to perhaps something else along the way on Route 66.
Or you can add it to the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta.
Yeah. Oh, that looks so fabulous.
Every October. Steve, you didn't mention the Georgia O'Keeffe.
We did go to the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum. That was okay. I mean, I'm sorry. It was okay.
No, be careful here. Those who are followers of Georgia O'Keeffe will come to your home and do terrible things to you.
They had a great video, and she has a great story. I'll give you that.
I'm with you. Not really my thing either.
The interesting little thing, do you know about the little place just off the plaza at 109 East Palace? The Los Alamos connection?
No, I do not. Sure.
Well, it's interesting. It commemorates the Santa Fe office of Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory. It was the jump-off spot for the Manhattan Project scientists. And apparently, the scientists would check in at the front, leave out the back on their way to Los Alamos, and people never knew them, never heard of them, and never saw them again. And they went to work on the atom bomb. But there's a plaque right there. It's right next to a restaurant called The Shed. It's a fun little thing to, little
wow.
tidbit.
Interesting little pieces of history.
Yeah. Again, a lot of churches. We went to the oldest church in the United States, and right next to the oldest house in Santa Fe. All the adobe stuff, but man.
Well, you know, it appears to me a lot of times people will leave this country to go to Europe or you got to go back east. We were talking earlier about Boston and places that have a lot of old history.
Yeah.
And from what we're talking about, New Mexico certainly has some old history. Get a chance to see some stuff that survived hundreds of years. My last question to you, Steve, is I guess since you spent so much time in so many churches, you probably get a bye for your Sunday church going here for at least a half a year.
Well, I think that's retroactive, Tom.
I see. Okay.
Hey, Steve, let me ask you before we let you go here. New Mexico is really known for its cuisine, and I haven't heard you mention too much about that. Did you have any restaurants or anything down there that struck your fancy?
Besides the diners?
Yes. The diners on Route 66 were a lot of fun, and you know, diner food.
Yeah, were there some fine Mexican restaurants?
You know, we asked. Every time we were stopping someplace, there was a place called Michael's in Taos.
Of course, Michael's, Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, very Mexican name, yeah.
It was on the main drag. That was pretty good. But, you know, our search for great Southwestern food didn't really come up with very much great stuff.
Well, fabulous, Steve. Thanks for coming in and spending some time with us. I'm glad you enjoyed your trip, and I hope our listeners enjoyed you taking them along with it.
Thanks, guys. We had a great time.
And we will post at travelguysradio.com links for tourism folks in New Mexico and also for the cities of Taos, Santa Fe, and Albuquerque. So if you have an interest in learning a little bit more about New Mexico, Steve, thanks for giving us a great travelogue the last couple weeks. We'll give folks some connections at travelguysradio.com.
My pleasure.
Once again, if you're just tuning in, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. Again, happy Independence Day weekend. Hope you didn't burn yourself with silly fireworks or any of that sort of stuff.
You see, the fire department had like 75 calls or something between 7 at night and 1 in the morning. And they said a lot of them were people doing stupid things. So
yeah, this is what we do every year.
Newton's law, eliminating some of the population that, you know, probably shouldn't have, never mind.
You know, and then a lot of people stayed in, turned their TV on, and got to watch the Independence Day celebration at Washington, D.C. Boy, there was a lot of interesting stuff going on there, wasn't there?
There was, definitely. The president, in fact, gave a speech.
Yeah.
And it went a little off the rails. The president lost a little bit of track of history.
I kind of heard a little bit about that. You want to share?
Well, he was talking about 1775 and the Revolutionary War, and he was talking about Valley Forge and stuff, and he says, quote, "Our army manned the air. It rammed the ramparts. It took over the airports. It did everything it had to do." Well, some very astute people noticed that in 1775-6-7, we didn't have airplanes yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the army didn't man the air or take over the airport. So the president got a little enthusiastic there, and he either read that off of the teleprompter, in which case shame on whoever wrote it, or he got enthusiastic and went off on his own and made something up that didn't quite make sense. So as you might well suspect, some people
noticed.
They noticed. Fairly interesting, and some of the tweets have been absolutely hysterical. Here's one. You know your day is going badly when you find out your flight has been canceled due to bad weather and you and the Continental Army have to spend the winter in Valley Forge. Here's another one. Apparently, we took LaGuardia Airport from the Brits in 1776 and been trying to give it back for 243 years. We beat the British because they had to connect through Atlanta. I like that one a lot. My dearest Rose, this is a duplicate of a famous historic letter. My dearest Rose, I'm afraid I must be the bearer of bad news. My flight has already been delayed a fortnight, and I fear it will be longer. The army has shut down the airport, and the airplane will not be invented for 67 years from now. My dear Frederick, they continue to hold us prisoner. All we have been given to eat are small portions of miniature pretzels, no ale or anything else. They torture us with stories of some mythical being called a beverage cart, yet it does not appear. These are all tweets off of the president's comment. Soldier's letter to home. Wait for me, my love. The battle of JetBlue will soon end, and I will return to you post-haste on standby through Atlanta on Delta. Here's another one in the airport. Thomas Jefferson, please pick up the white courtesy horn. Dearest Jebediah, our flight has been delayed again. Waiting on the tarmac, our supplies of honey roasted peanuts and Fresca are almost depleted. We are talking about rebellion against first class. Please tell the children I love them. So these are just some of the, here's a picture of an American Airlines plane and a British Airlines plane. It says National Archives discover new pictures of the War of Independence. And there are two airplanes from another picture of, you know, Washington crossing the Delaware, and he's got his foot up on
the boat.
Well, here's one of Washington with his foot on the baggage claim.
There you go.
Area.
Are those on Travel Guys Radio?
No, they're not. They're just something that I found, and I wasn't trying to. Some people are not going to be happy because they're going to say that
I'm making fun of our president.
But this one was just too easy. I, no matter who the president was, this one's worthy of making fun of. And some of these folks, Martha, here's one more. Martha, trying my damnedest to make the 515 out of Philly, but the Valley Forge traffic is a nightmare. Leave a lantern on for me. Yours truly, George.
Yeah.
So anyways, a little fun on the mall. And the president said he hoped that this would inspire young people, perhaps, to be a part of the military service. So I think that was a plus.
They didn't have the, you know, I didn't get to see it, and they didn't have the Russian flyby, did they? You know, president invited the Russians to do a flyby.
Uh-huh.
We had, I think we were going to get some tanks there, you know, a little bit of a military might on display.
I think you're losing your mind. Here's one more military Revolutionary War airport stories is what these are under on Twitter.
Okay.
By the way, even back then, there were always flight delays on Colonial Airways since they had no airplanes. The good news was the baggage claim lines were always short. So anyways, a little bit of fun there. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Next week, Gwen Duncan is going to be in studio with us, and we're also going to be talking to someone from the cast of Hamilton. That show has set up shop in San Francisco now on an extended basis. They're going to be there well into next year. Tickets have come down slightly in price, and they're a little easier to get. So we'll be talking to the cast of Hamilton next week here on the Travel Guys, along with Ms. Gwen Duncan, travel advisor extraordinaire.
Well, all right. That wraps up another program for this week. You stay well, my friends, and we'll see you next week.
You absolutely will. Oh, hey, and one quick shout out. My thanks to our TSA gentlemen, who Dale and Sid, who came in last week, and you squeezed them into the program, and they were very patient and everything and waited for us. So thank you guys for all of that. We'll see you next week. Dance like nobody's watching. We are the Travel Guys.